When they were 5 miles from their destination, Link pulled off the road, easing the jeep into a thicket of underbrush deep enough to hide the vehicle. They had no idea if the responsivists had left guards at their facility and weren't going to take unnecessary chances. He and Cabrillo spent a few minutes putting finishing touches on the camouflage and erasing the tracks the jeep had sunk into the soft soil. Even knowing where it was hidden, neither man could see it from the road. Juan built a small cairn of pebbles on the verge to mark the location. Shouldering packs stuffed with gear, they stepped into the jungle and started the long walk in. The sun seemed to vanish, replaced by a green-filtered glow that barely penetrated the high canopy of trees. The color reminded Cabrillo of the Oregon's moon pool at night when the underhull lights were turned on. Despite his size, Lincoln moved through the jungle with the easy grace of a predatory cat, finding the tiniest openings between the dense vegetation so as not to disturb anything. His feet seemed to barely brush the loamy ground. He was so stealthy that the background symphony of insects and bird cries never dropped in volume or rose in alarm. Cabrillo walked in his wake, constantly scanning behind them for any sign they were being followed. The air was so humid, it seemed that his lungs were filling with fluid with each breath. Sweat ran freely down his back and soaked the band of his baseball cap. He could feel it cold and slick where his stump met his artificial leg. After 2 hours of stalking silently through the rainforest, Link held up a fist, then lowered himself to the ground. Cabrillo followed suit, crawling up next to the big seal. They were at the edge of the jungle. Ahead of them was open grassland that stretched for a quarter mile before dropping to the sea in a line of near-vertical slopes and eroded cliffs. With the sun behind them, Cabrillo didn't worry about reflections off his binoculars as he scanned his surroundings. The responsivists had built a single metal building a short distance from the cliffs. It was as large as a warehouse, with a gently sloped roof to deal with the 13.5 feet of annual rainfall. Opaque panels in the roof would let in diffused sunlight, as there were no windows. The sides were bare metal, painted with a red oxide anti-corrosion paint, and there was just a single door facing a parking lot big enough for 50 or so vehicles. About 30 yards from the warehouse were 4 rows of rectangular concrete pads. Cabrillo counted 40 of the empty pads per row. Link tapped him on the shoulder. He drew a rectangle in the dirt and pointed at the warehouse. Then he made a second rectangle and pointed at the field of concrete. Cabrillo was with him so far. Then Link drew a much larger square around the whole compound and pointed across the open field. Juan studied the area through the binoculars and noticed a slight variation in the grass, which ran in a straight line before abruptly turning 90 degrees. He looked at Link. The Navy vet placed the edge of his hand on the line he'd drawn, indicating he thought there had once been a fence running the perimeter of the field. He then used his fingers to rather crassly raise the corners of his eyes. Cabrillo nodded his agreement. This had once been a Japanese compound of some kind, most likely a prison camp. The fence had been removed years ago, and all that remained of the cell blocks were the concrete pads. He wondered if the responsivists chose this location because there was already an existing foundation for their building. The duo watched the structure for another 2 hours, passing the binoculars back and forth when their eyes began to tire. Nothing moved in the clearing except when a breeze blew in off the ocean and made waves ripple through the knee-high grass. Juan suddenly cursed and stood.
"That's it. Nobody's home."
His voice seemed unnaturally loud after so many hours of silence.
"How can you be so sure?"
Link asked in a hoarse whisper.
"See the empty brackets on the roof? It's got to be 90 degrees out here, which means it's at least 120 in that building. Those brackets once held some pretty big air conditioning units. They took them when they bugged out. Unless that building is packed to the rafters with water, a guard detail wouldn't last an hour in there, let alone the weeks it's been since they abandoned this place. Cabrillo held out a hand to haul Lincoln to his feet. It was a testament to Juan's time working out aboard the Oregon that the effort didn't tear the muscles in his back. Although he was reasonably certain of his deduction, they approached the structure carefully, keeping well away from the door until they were tight up to the metal side. The building's skin was hot enough to singe Juan's fingertips when he touched it.